Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, June 10th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks climb after President Trump suspends plans for tariffs on Mexico.
The yen weakens after a Bloomberg exclusive interview with BOJ Governor Kuroda.
United Technologies and Raytheon agree to combine in one of the biggest ever aerospace and defense deals.
Demonstrators pledge more huge protests in Hong Kong. And candidates line up to replace Theresa May in the UK. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Bruins stayed alive. They won in St. Louis, forcing a Stanley Cup Final Game 7. Wins for the Mets and Yankees. They'll meet tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Risk assets are gaining this morning while Havens slump. It is coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures higher this morning, up 8 points. Dow futures up 79. NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany, no trading today. The CAC in Paris is up 0.2%, and the FTSE 100 up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 15 30 seconds, yield 2.13%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.88%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 10 cents at $54.07 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 1.1% or $14.90 to $13.31.20 an ounce. The euro at 1.13 against the dollar and the yen 108.61. Nathan.
Karen, risk on sentiment is taking hold after President Trump suspended plans for U.S. tariffs on Mexico. Global stocks are gaining while Havens slump and Treasury yields rise. Mark Cudmore is macro strategist at Bloomberg News.
The Mexico story was kind of expected. That was kind of priced in. We've had that relief now. One of those great reliefs where we make an empty threat and then remove it and markets are very happy. But as yields start to bounce today on the relief, on stocks going higher, will that kind of then become a negative spiral that, hey, wait a sec, the main reason for equity markets going higher was because yields collapsed. Now, if yields start bouncing, does that stop the equity bounce? So I think that dynamic, that interplay between stocks and yields will be particularly interesting this week.
Now, last week was the best for U.S. stocks since November.
Now that the threat of tariffs is gone, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement can move forward, according to Canadian Finance Minister Bill Morneau.
Now that the specter of potential tariffs is not there, I think it does clear the path for all of us to move forward at the pace that we can to get this new deal ratified.
There are some questions, though, about the agreement reached between the U.S. and Mexico. President Trump said Mexico will make large agricultural purchases as part of the deal. But three Mexican officials say agricultural trade hadn't been discussed in negotiations.
Now, with one trade dispute resolved, discussions at this weekend's G20 finance ministers meeting turned squarely to the U.S.-China trade war. Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes reports from Tokyo.
Steven Mnuchin certainly was playing down hopes to everyone there that anything could really happen at this meeting. He did tweet out, however, that he had candid and constructive talks with his counterpart in China on these trade talks. I also asked Mr. Mnuchin about this fear in the markets that if the Chinese currency slides closer to 7, even below, if the Trump team will see that as currency manipulation. He didn't exactly say yes, but he did say, well, you know, if a currency's been trading in a certain level and then it goes even weaker. Well, you know, we have to look at a lot of factors, but he seemed to imply that this is something that is definitely on their radar screen.
Right now, the yuan is trading at 6.9535.
The yen is weaker after remarks overnight from Haruhiko Kuroda, the Bank of Japan governor, speaking exclusively to Bloomberg following the G20 meeting, saying the central bank still has room for big stimulus.
When some risks materialize and if the Japanese economy affected and also if the momentum toward the 2% inflation target is lost, then of course Bank of Japan would swiftly respond.
The comments from Governor Kuroda come as some question whether the BOJ's aggressive stimulus program is sustainable given the harm caused for commercial banks and markets.
Now, the pound is weaker after data show the UK economy contracted 0.4% in April. That's the biggest monthly drop since 2016. It comes as manufacturing output in the UK fell the most in 16 years. Overall manufacturing output fell 3.9%, while vehicle production plunged by 24%.
We're getting trade data out of China showing the country's export growth unexpectedly rebounding in May while imports declined. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Exports rose 1.1% from a year earlier, the estimate a decline of 3.9%. Imports declined 8.5%, and that was far more than 3.5% projected. Some other highlights, copper imports falling 23%, read slowing economy. Rare earth exports falling 16%, and the overall trade surplus $41.7 billion, up from $24.9 billion a year ago. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. Now, as concern about U.S.-China trade tensions continues, China reportedly held talks with technology companies last week to discuss the U.S. ban on Huawei. According to Reuters, a person at Microsoft said its session with Chinese officials was not a direct warning, but made it clear that complying with the ban would lead to further complications for all sector participants.
At the same time, the acting budget chief at the White House is pushing for a delay in implementing the law that restricts government business with Huawei. Bloomberg News has learned Russell Vought sent a letter to Vice President Mike Pence saying the measure would place burdens on U.S. companies that use Huawei technology.
And on the M&A front, we have a big tie-up in the defense industry with United Technologies agreeing to buy Raytheon in an all-stock deal. The combination would be one of the biggest ever in the sector. Doug Rothiker covers aerospace and defense for Bloomberg Intelligence.
This would form basically the number two aerospace defense business by revenue globally at about $80 billion combined, which trails only Boeing at north of $100 billion in sales. For Raytheon, it offers a sizable boost in commercial exposure. For United Technologies, adding a premier top-tier provider of high-margin defense systems like radars and missile defense components offers, you know, a pretty sizable instant diversification factor.
Shares of Raytheon in the pre-market are up nearly 3%, while United Technologies shares are higher by 5%.
And futures are higher, with S&P futures up 8 points this morning, Dow futures up 82, and NASDAQ futures up about 24. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and to check the latest world and national news, we bring in Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. Hong Kong's leader is pledging to press ahead with Beijing-backed legislation easing extraditions to China. This comes despite one of Hong Kong's largest protests since the former British colony's return more than two decades ago. The chief executive, Carrie Lam, telling reporters that the government could see people are still concerned about the bill.
In a way, I hope this incident also helps to refute any worries and allegations that these rights and freedoms have been eroded in recent years.
About a million people turned out in a protest over the weekend. President Donald Trump says it's case closed, but Democrats are just getting started with Robert Mueller. That story in this report from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
House Democrats have scheduled a series of hearings this coming week on the special counsel's report as they intensify their focus on the Russia probe and pick up the pace on an investigative path, the words of Speaker Pelosi. And they will lay groundwork for an appearance from Mueller himself, despite his stated desire to avoid doing such. The hearings will focus on two main topics of Mueller's report, obstruction of justice and Russian election interference. The first today will focus on obstruction, tomorrow a vote to authorize contempt cases against Attorney General William Barr, and Wednesday, Russian election activity. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And former Red Sox slugger David Ortiz was shot and injured in the Dominican Republic, according to reports that emerged Sunday evening. Ortiz's father telling ESPN his son was wounded at an entertainment center in the Dominican capital of Santo Domingo. According to El Día, Ortiz was with a group of friends at a nightclub when he was shot. The 10-time All-Star, who's from the Dominican Republic, was taken and received medical care. The list of candidates vying to be Britain's next prime minister will be finalized today following a lively weekend of news from hard lines on Brexit to some lines they'd rather forget. Boris Johnson, the frontrunner to succeed Prime Minister Theresa May, took a tough stance on Brexit in a Sunday Times interview. He said he would leave the bloc with or without a deal in October if he was in charge. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
Nathan, back in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Bruins faced elimination in a Game 6 on the road. They won that one in Toronto, and they won last night's Game 6 in St. Louis, 5-1. They put it away with a four-goal third-period strong play in net from Tuukka Rask, and now Bruce Cassidy's Bruins will host the Blues Wednesday. The winner wins the Stanley Cup.
You got two good teams that have gone toe-to-toe here, and good for Tuukka. He's allowed us an opportunity to play in a Game 7. I think the whole hockey world loves a Game 7, so should be a great night in Boston, and may the best team win.
The Bruins will have home ice, but the road team 4-2 in the series. The Blues 9-3 on the road in the playoffs. So the NHL season not over yet. NBA season could end tonight in Toronto. Raptors lead Golden State 3-1. Scary news on former Red Sox star David Ortiz. It sounds as if he's going to be okay. Big Papi shot at a club in his native Dominican Republic, but after surgery, he's in stable condition, expected to make a full recovery. Subway Series tonight in the Bronx. Both teams off wins. The Yankees 6-5, 10 innings in Cleveland. They led 5-0. They were one out from victory in the ninth when D.D. Gregorius booted a ground ball, but Aaron Hicks' double put him back ahead. Rookie Stephen Tarpley struck out the side in the 10th. For Aaron Boone.
But proud of the way the guys, you know, continue to hang in there, continue to grind. It was a little bit of a, you know, different kind of game, and for Tarp to come in there and finish it off was big.
Noah Syndergaard pitched the Mets over Colorado 6-1. Jason Vargas and Masahiro Tanaka, the pitchers tonight. U.S. Open golf begins Thursday at Pebble Beach. Rory McIlroy looks ready. A 61, a seven-shot win in Canada. A 12th French Open title for Rafael Nadal. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, a second horse has died in 2 days at Santa Anita. It's the 29th overall at a track that has seen a spate of recent horse deaths. The California Horse Racing Board has recommended the track suspend the remaining days of its meet, which is set to end June 23rd, but Santa Anita's management has chosen to continue racing. S&P futures higher by 8 points right now. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures up 23 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, how long will the relief rally from trade last? We bring in Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco, next. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and European equities are higher this morning after a strong session for stocks in Asia, with the MSCI Asia Pacific Index higher by nearly 1%. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with more from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Well, car makers in Japan and South Korea rose, while tech companies, especially those with plants in Mexico like Taiwan's WeWin, soared. The yen fell as safe haven assets were dumped. The Nikkei 225 up over 1% in Tokyo to 21,134 points. A day after mass protests in Hong Kong, stocks in the city-state were up more than 2% intraday, in part playing catch-up after being closed Friday. Disappointing import data out of China saw the Aussie dollar fall. Australia's cash market was closed for a public holiday. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. S&P futures higher, up 8.5 points. Dow futures up 86. NASDAQ futures up 24. No trading in Germany today, a holiday. The CAC in Paris is up 0.3%. The FTSE 100 is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 14/32nds. Yield 2.13%. Yield on the 2-year 1.88%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33% or 20 cents to $54.18 a barrel. And COMEX gold down 1% or $13.80 to $13.3230 an ounce. The euro 1.1298 against the dollar. The yen 108.56. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning, Karen. Hong Kong's leader is pledging to press ahead with Beijing-backed legislation easing extraditions to China. It comes a day after massive protests in the streets. Former Red Sox slugger David Ortiz was shot and injured in the Dominican Republic. His father says his son was wounded at an entertainment center in the Dominican capital, Santo Domingo. And the list of candidates vying to be Britain's next prime minister will be finalized today. Boris Johnson is the frontrunner to succeed Prime Minister Theresa May. Sports. Bruins beat the Blues to force a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Warriors look to keep their season alive when they face Toronto tonight. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets win. They play each other tonight. In other action, the Nationals and A's also win. The Red Sox and Giants lose. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. We're coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we are joined this morning by Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Well, Christina, looks as though traders are welcoming this reprieve for Mexico. Is that how you read this risk-on mood this morning?
Absolutely. That is an important ingredient, certainly, in the risk-on fervor. But it also should be mentioned that we're seeing more accommodation coming from central banks. In the last week, more have gotten on the accommodation bandwagon, and I think that's also supporting a risk-on attitude today.
Do you think that that includes the Fed then, especially given the less-than-stellar Friday jobs report?
Absolutely. Certainly that opens up the door and makes the environment one in which the Fed has more flexibility to be accommodative.
So, let's put it out there. When do you think that we might see a rate cut from the Fed?
Well, certainly, I think all bets are off in this environment, given that there are just so many unknowns, and trade continues to be a very significant issue, as we saw from the G20 finance meeting this weekend. So I certainly think it's going to be on the table as a point of discussion at every FOMC meeting this year. That doesn't mean we're going to see a rate cut this summer, but I certainly think there's a good possibility that there's one, and I would imagine that there's going to be a pretty significant discussion at each meeting about the possibility of doing it.
I mean, I got to think that a lot has to hinge on what happens between Presidents Trump and Xi at the G20 at the end of this month, right? I mean, is the Fed sort of on pause for that?
Well, you could argue that that's the case, but keep in mind that we've been hearing more and more from FOMC members in recent weeks about the idea of inflation targeting and essentially changing the inflation target in some way. That would mean that conditions don't need to change for the Fed to get more accommodative. And so I think there's more flexibility. I don't think it hinges on a Xi-Trump meeting. And quite frankly, I'm not sure a lot is going to get done at that meeting.
That's an interesting point to bring up about inflation expectations. Are you expecting then that we could see actually more discussion and perhaps more clarity on whether the Fed is changing its thinking about inflation expectations at this meeting coming up next week?
I would expect that to happen, given that we certainly are seeing relatively low inflation, and the jobs report on Friday indicated relatively low wage growth, given how tight the labor market is. And so it certainly has to be a point of discussion, especially given that we've heard a lot of noise on that issue from various Fed members.
In terms of the rally that we're seeing that pretty much started last week and perhaps could continue into this week, how much farther do you see it going?
That's a great question. I suspect that this rally has legs until, of course, we get some negative trade development. And keep in mind that the U.S.-China trade situation has not been resolved. Yes, we've seen a suspension of those planned Mexico tariffs, but nothing has changed about the U.S.-China trade relationship, except that perhaps it's gotten worse in the last week. Certainly, the rhetoric has ratcheted up, so I wouldn't be surprised to see some kind of negative development, some kind of news flow regarding that relationship that could derail any kind of rally we see this week.
Just real quickly, about 30 seconds left, is there a risk to overpositioning with U.S.-China trade? I mean, the fact that talks broke down just last month caught a lot of people by surprise.
Well, and I think that going forward, investors should expect to be surprised again and again. I don't think that this situation is going to be resolved easily, so one should prepare for continued trade disagreements, acrimony, no resolution of the U.S.-China trade situation anytime soon. But that doesn't mean you can't be, overweight risk assets, especially given central bank accommodation.
All right. Thanks, as always, Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco, for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 5:25 on Wall Street, straight ahead, more on one of the biggest mergers ever in defense and aerospace. Stay with us for that. I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures point to a fifth straight day of gains for the S&P 500 after President Trump suspended plans for new tariffs on goods from Mexico. Bloomberg's Christine Burke reports.
President Trump said he will indefinitely suspend plans to put a 5% tariff on Mexican products. It seems to be clear that the deal does include some sort of increased measures for border security. What stirred a bit of confusion and a bit of drama was the fact that President Trump said that Mexico agreed to substantial purchases of U.S. agricultural products as part of this deal as well. And that was something that three Mexican officials later said was not true. So a bit of confusion, I guess, but we do know that the tariffs seem to have been averted for now. That seems to be doing well for the peso and for overall sentiment.
Bloomberg's Christine Burke reporting the peso is stronger by more than 2% on the news.
Well, now investor attention on the trade front will return to talks with China after Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said the main progress may occur when Presidents Trump and Xi Jinping meet at the G20 summit later this month.
It's one of the defense industry's biggest transactions ever. United Technologies has agreed to buy Raytheon in an all-stock deal, forming a company with $74 billion in sales. Doug Rothiker covers aerospace and defense for Bloomberg Intelligence.
A combined United Technologies and Raytheon offers diversification benefits and could offer some potential cost savings factors, you know, that could make United Technologies more competitive from a tier one supplier standpoint.
Shares of United Technologies up more than 5%, while Raytheon is up almost 3%.
Renault's 20-year marriage with Nissan may be in trouble. Renault's planned merger with Fiat Chrysler fell apart, and Nissan's reluctance to endorse the deal is said to be partly responsible for its failure. In response, Renault's threatening to block Nissan's plan to cover its governance structure.
Shares of Thomas Cook are up more than 10% in London. The British travel agency has confirmed it's in talks with China's Fosun International about buying its tour operating business. Right now, S&P futures are up 8 points, Dow futures up 80, Nasdaq futures up 23. The no trading in Germany today, holiday there. CAC in Paris is up 0.2%, FTSE 100 up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 14 30 seconds, yield 2.12%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.88%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, up 3 cents at $54.02 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down 1%, down $13.80 to $13.3230 an ounce. The euro 1.1303 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Okay, thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in John Tucker to find out what else is happening in the world. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nate. Hong Kong has pledged to press ahead with a controversial extradition bill that brought nearly a million people out into the streets. Now, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
The biggest protest since the British handover in 1997. Organizers saying 1.03 million people came out. Police said 240,000. Even so, Chief Executive Carrie Lam said the legislation would move forward on Wednesday. The bill would allow Hong Kong to transfer criminal suspects to places like mainland China and Taiwan. Western governments have warned warned the law could threaten Hong Kong's autonomy and perhaps damage it as a global financial center. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Top Democratic leaders may be in no rush to launch an impeachment inquiry, but the party is launching a series of hearings this week on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. The slate of hearings on the Russia probe means lawmakers are picking up the pace of an investigation that some of the party's liberal base hope leads to impeachment of President Donald Trump. In the UK today, members of the Tory party have until 5 p.m. local time to enter the race to become party leader and prime minister. Bloomberg's Thomas Penny reports from London.
In the race to succeed Theresa May as UK Prime Minister, Boris Johnson was always going to be the one to catch, and his hardened rhetoric on Brexit and eye-catching promise of tax cuts has laid down the gauntlet to his opponents. But as Johnson scoops up the support of prominent Brexiteers, their task of winning that vote is getting harder. One person they are less likely to have to worry about is Michael Gove, whose campaign looks fatally damaged by revelations about his use of cocaine 20 years ago. In London, Thomas Penny, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A residential building in Dallas remains evacuated following a deadly outbreak of severe weather when near hurricane-strength winds hit the Texas city Sunday afternoon. City manager T.C. Brodno says a construction crane hit the building located downtown, causing injuries and killing one woman.
All the units at the apartment complex have been searched and everyone has been accounted for and evacuated to the reunification center.
And former Boston Red Sox slugger David Ortiz appears to be in stable condition. After police say he was ambushed by a man who got off a motorcycle and shot him in the back at close range Sunday night in his native Dominican Republic. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Here's John Stash Hour with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update.
Nathan, Stanley Cup was in the house in St. Louis. The Blues had a chance to win the Cup for the first time, but in the opening period, there were two Blues in the penalty box.
Bottom of the left wing circle for Krejci. Out to Pasternak to the far side. Shot saved by Binnington. Loose in front, comes back to Krug. Across to Pasternak. Left wing circle to the far side. Score! Marchand on the power play with a two-man advantage. 1-0 Bruins in game six.
One had it. Stayed that way till the third period. Bruins scored four times. They won 5-1, and now the Blues and Bruins heading back to Boston for game seven Wednesday. Both teams have already won game sevens in these playoffs. It's the first game seven in the final since 2011. That was a Bruins victory in Vancouver. Will Kevin Durant come to the rescue for the Warriors in Toronto? Out over a month with an injured calf. He practiced with the team. He's questionable for tonight's Game 5, the Raptors up 3-1 in the NBA Finals. Not a good road trip for the Yankees, just 2-4, but as was the case in Toronto, Yanks able to salvage the series finale. In Cleveland, they blew a 5-0 lead, but scored in the 10th inning. They won 7-6. Mets beat Colorado 6-1. Noah Syndergaard won 7 innings, allowed just one hit. So tonight in the Bronx, Mets and Yankees for the first time this season, a two-game Subway Series. Jason Vargas opposite Masahiro Tanaka. Rory McIlroy won the golf in Canada by 7 shots. Rafael Nadal, the French Open, yet again, title number 12. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashow. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's the sooner-than-you-think issue, focusing on the future of tech and daring feats of innovation, like how to move an iceberg. Caroline Winter wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
The idea of towing icebergs and converting them into drinking water, this story was really fun because it focuses on a marine salvage expert named Nicholas Sloan, who is the sort of guy whose career involves, you know, rappelling onto burning supertankers and cleaning up oil spills in remote waters.
Read more about this and other stories in the Sooner Than You Think edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com. Or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, Nathan. The Four Seasons restaurant in Manhattan will close less than a year after it reopened in a new location. New York Times says Tuesday's lunch is expected to be its last. The restaurant opens its original Seagram building location in 1959. It moved in 2016 when the building's owner declined to renew the lease. New York City is finalizing a plan to ban cashless stores at places like Amazon Go joining a list of cities and states requiring businesses to accept cash payment over privacy and bias concerns. City Councilman Richie Torres' office says a bill could go before the full council as early as this summer. And Connecticut residents oppose tolling state highways by almost a 2-to-1 margin, according to a new poll. Governor Ned Lamont has proposed tolling all vehicles on Interstates 84, 91, 95, and 15 starting in fiscal 2023. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team to get some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Joan Doniger telling WBBM listeners in Chicago not to expect Boeing 737 MAX jets back in the air this summer. American Airlines isn't. It's taken them off the flight schedule through September 3rd.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on WTIC at Hartford, we're talking about the aerospace mega merger between United Technologies and Raytheon.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following the Tory leadership race as front-runner Boris Johnson hardens his rhetoric on Brexit and unveils proposals to cut taxes.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting Fiat Chrysler and Renault are looking for ways to revive their merger plan.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following, Microsoft says its next generation Xbox gaming console will be 4 times more powerful than the current Xbox. The new one will be released in time for Christmas 2020, with a new version of Halo, the company's popular first-person shooter game. Microsoft also announced the upcoming debut of its xCloud streaming platform for games. Risk on this morning to start a new trading week. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 81 points. NASDAQ futures up 24 points. This is Bloomberg. Coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis of some of the morning's top news. Stay with us for that. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are climbing as the week began alongside stocks in Europe and Asia after President Trump suspends plans for punitive tariffs on goods from Mexico. Treasuries are falling along with gold and the yen as demand for havens ebbs. Stocks are rising in markets from Italy to the U.K., though several exchanges, including Germany's, are closed for a holiday. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points. Dow futures up 86. NASDAQ futures up 24. The FTSE 100 is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 15 30 seconds. Yield 2.13%. Yield on the 2-year 1.88%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1%, up 8 cents to $54.07 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.1%, down $14.20 to $13.31.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1302 against the dollar, and the yen 108.55. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Former Boston Red Sox slugger David Ortiz appears to be in stable condition. And police say he was shot in the back at close range Sunday night in his native Dominican Republic. In the UK today, members of the Tory party have until 5 p.m. local time to enter the race to become party leader and prime minister. And Hong Kong has pledged to press ahead with a controversial extradition bill that brought nearly a million people out into the streets over the weekend. Bloomberg Sports, Bruins beat the Blues to force a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. The Warriors look to keep their season alive when they face Toronto tonight. And in baseball, the Yankees and Mets win and play each other tonight. Other action, the Nationals and A's also win, and the Red Sox and Giants lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it's 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London bureau with a look, first off, at the global oil market. Of course, we've recently seen a show of unity from Saudi Arabia and Russia on the need for oil-producing nations to continue holding back output. What does Julian Lee make of this continued stand?
That makes more than a little bit of sense. The key number that we really want to watch for this week is coming out on Friday when the International Energy Agency is going to publish its first forecast for oil market balances in 2020. The expectation that Julian Lee has is that stockpiles will be shown to be rising if the OPEC producer group, along with its friends, including Russia, don't extend output cuts into a fourth year. But he says the pain could actually get even worse for producers because there's growing signs that demand growth is turning out to be a lot weaker than expected. For example, Russian oil minister Alexander Novak said last week that the trade wars could help push global demand growth this year below 1 million barrels a day, and that would be the lowest level since 2011.
Yeah, I mean, and so where would that sort of grim picture leave oil producers?
Well, it's a difficult situation because, I mean, there's a lot to say about how much more restraint, producers really need to be showing. And to be honest, I mean, they could need to go a lot further than what's happening right now. If you look at, for example, the outlook for growth, the OECD has slashed its demand forecasts. Its outlook for economic growth, and with demand growth tied very closely to economic growth, that bodes really poorly for oil consumption.
And Lee is saying this could set the stage potentially for a falling out between OPEC and Russia?
That's exactly right, because think about where the oil prices are. It's around $60 to $65 a barrel-ish. So whatever oil ministers say, we have to look at a comment from President Vladimir Putin a few weeks ago where he says that Russia and Saudi Arabia have certain differences in opinion regarding the fair price for crude, and the current level, you know, around $60, $65 a barrel is going to suit Russia just fine. So even though OPEC ministers may be able to get away with extending their deal for restraint for another 6 months, they're going to really face a crunch when Russia decides it's had enough of restraint. I mean, sure, restraint suits Russia now because it's still dealing with lingering contamination problems with its export pipeline to Europe. But once that's resolved, Russian producers are going to really be scrambling to boost production some more. And even Putin might balk at asking them to make deeper cuts. And once he does, production picks up again in Russia, that's when the agreement between Russia and OPEC is really going to start to fall apart.
All right, let's move on to this piece on the European banking sector from Elisa Martinuzzi. Of course, Europe's banks have been in retreat for years, losing business to Wall Street rivals. And Martinuzzi says, though, the battleground may be shifting.
So the name of the game had always been on the dealing floor. That's where the revenue was really the focus. But more recently, Martinuzzi says the higher returns are available from helping corporates manage their cash piles and make faster payments. And that's luring everyone from Goldman Sachs Group to fintech entrepreneurs. And so she says it's easy to see why, because by 2020, the fixed income market, which was, of course, for years the big money spinner for securities, is going to be overtaken by transaction banking.
But it already looks like Europe's lagging the U.S. here?
That's right, because there's sluggish economic growth at home and record low interest rates. And that looks, and so the headwind that always provided for European banks looks like it's going to continue in their push to gain a foothold in transaction banking. I mean, if you just compare the revenue numbers, it's really interesting. Group-wide revenue at the top three U.S. firms in transaction banking climbed anywhere between 3% to 13%. And in Europe, it was falling.
Does Europe have any room to come back?
Well, they could do because the top 10 firms controlling just 30% of the pie. So there's an opportunity to be sure to gain market share. I mean, there's some new European banking rules that could give some lenders a break in terms of capital relief on the intangible value of their software. But really, it's clear that if Europe wants to seize a global lead in this area of wholesale banking, the battle's really going to be tough and the odds are currently against it.
All right, Bloomberg Opinion Editor Jennifer Ryan, thank you as always. And you can read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion on the Bloomberg terminal. Just type O-P-I-N go on the search bar. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Trade Watchers this week will be focused on the fate of the new NAFTA at Mexico's legislature, and Canada says it'll move in pace with U.S. steps to ratify. Google, Apple, and other network operators in China face new costs and potentially severe penalties under a draft law that would expand hosts' liability for data privacy breaches. And class settlements that send most of the funds to charity and class council fees shock the conscience. That's what the U.S. Supreme Court heard from an objector to a $12.5 million consumer settlement.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching deals with a high-profile Hollywood trial over poaching talent. The case involves a lawyer for Fox Studios saying Netflix has a, quote, audacious disregard for contracts with executives. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Dune Grosso speaks to entertainment lawyer Bobby Schwartz. He's a partner at Quinn Emanuel, which has represented Netflix in the past but is not involved in this case.
Bobby, tell us about this lawsuit that started when two executives left Fox for Netflix about 3 years ago.
Well, Netflix has been eager to stoke its fire of talent, and it's been going around town to studios to lure people away, lawfully, as it believes the case to be. And Fox fought back and said, hey, you can't touch our employees. They're under contract. And that's what the fight's all about. Are these contracts enforceable? Can Fox keep people from poaching their employees?
Talk a little bit more about what Netflix did in response and what their argument is.
Netflix's position is that Fox has unlawfully handcuffed its employees by trying to invoke protections under California law for stars, movie stars, and singers, and people whose talents are truly unique, and put that in every one of its contracts, and then forced its employees to continue their employment for more than the lawful length of 7 years under California law. So Netflix is saying, look, Fox, we know you have contracts with these people, but they're not legal contracts, and it's important under California law to let people test their value in the marketplace at least once every 7 years, and it's important to allow people to go look for other jobs. And the California legislature has passed several important statutes to reinforce those principles, and Fox's view is tough luck. We have the signed contract, and that should trump it all.
And the judge made a preliminary ruling agreeing with Fox. Tell us about that.
He agreed and didn't agree. In other words, the ultimate outcome of this is that the case is going to get tried and a jury will decide who's right. But the judge was skeptical of some of Netflix's arguments, erroneously, frankly, in my view, but it's his view that counts, not mine.
And that's entertainment lawyer Bobby Schwartz, a partner at Quinn Emanuel, speaking to Bloomberg's Dune Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Right now, S&P futures are higher, up 9 points. Dow futures up 93, and NASDAQ futures are up about 26. The FTSE 100 is up 0.4%. The CAC in Paris up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 16/32, yield 2.13%. The yield on the 2-year 1.89%. NYMEX crude oil up less than 0.1%, up 3 cents to $54.02 a barrel. And COMEX gold down 1% or $13.70 to $13.32.40 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.